Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is taking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
That's right. Even if it takes all night long, that's the way I see it. Anyway, hello, everybody. Hi, Rex. Welcome to...
Hello.
See, tonight we took Fill My Eyes and Lauren with poetry, and it's Fill My Eyes with Rex and poetry. Only because that's the way it is tonight. Laurent is under the weather, and hopefully he will get himself back on track come Monday. He was going to give it a whirl tonight, but I told him, just rest up. Rather have him feeling better than feeling bad. So what is happening, Rex?
Ah, the weather is pointing upwards at 75 with a nice turn of phrase to coin the day.
Show off. Show off.
I'm looking forward to brighter, sunnier days, which are now starting to bloom nicely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to them, too. You think you can send a couple my way? Just a couple. It'd be nice
sure,
to have a 70-degree day. Yeah, nice 70-degree day without rain would be really welcome. You know, it's like, kind of like a smack in the head. Oh, look, we're going to give you a 70-degree day. Oh, yeah, and we're going to let it rain all day, too. Just saying, you know.
And then we're going to make it freeze tomorrow. So bite on that one.
I'm telling you, the weather here has been ridiculous. It's going up and going down. We go to 40 to 50 to 60 to 70, back down to 40 again. It's like, you know, little it gets old quick, I'm telling you. But, you know, what are you going to do? I guess it'll go away soon. It does every year. So, yeah, we have a nice looking board tonight, Rex. I don't know if you had the chance to check out everybody is on it, but it's a nice looking board with a whole lot of good poems.
Well, I did see a nice wide array of things, plus a lot of SoundCloud, which is nice too.
A whole lot of audios, which is wonderful. I mean, you know, I like people on the phone, but I'll take an audio anytime, you know. And I want to say hello to Naomi. Hello, Naomi.
Hello, hello. Hi.
Hey, Naomi.
Hi. Hello. You guys make me like dream with your warm weather. Here we're freezing our arses off.
It's kind of chilly here too. I'm just like hoping. You know, it's like every fifth day I get a warm day. You know.
Oh, and shoveling and shoveling. It's always snowing. Like we just get the front steps or whatever, the patio in the back shoveled out a bit, and it's all snowed in again, and we have to start all over again.
Keep exercise anyway.
Well, that's what fires are good for, bum warmers.
But then it gets really icy, you know, so you have to watch out so you don't slip. When you're a runner like me, you know, you can't get out to run because, you know, you'll go right, you know, you're I don't want to break a hip. Or my time.
Yeah. How true. Okay, now listen, guys, we have another caller on the line. I'm not recognizing the 630 number. Hello, 630. Who's calling, please?
This is Colin.
Hey, how are you, Colin?
Hey, how you doing? I've been talking to you guys for a few weeks, so I thought I would chime in.
It's always good to have you join us. Always good to have you join us, that's for sure. Yes. So far, that's it, just the four of us. And how have you been, Colin? You've been doing good?
Yeah, I've been doing good, you know, busy and stuff. You know, trying to come out of winter here, and I'm in Chicago, so it's now becoming livable.
The infernal whipping around the corners. That wind is nasty.
Oh, God, yeah. But actually, the winter wasn't too bad this year.
Well, that's a nice change of pace.
Amen.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, right? Yeah, there's always something, isn't there? Oh, my goodness. So listen, guys, we got lots of poetry. Let me try that again in English. Are we all up for... I don't know what the hell I was going to say now. Never mind. I don't know. I guess maybe we should.
Are you inferring we're going to be playing musical chairs?
I'm playing musical words. I don't know about anything else. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to say that. Oh, what did I say? Wait. I don't remember what I was going to say. Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be a great night. Rex, just keep pointing me in the right direction. We'll be good. Wow.
Well, absolutely. Well, you've got the board, you want to start with an audio, or would you like to start reading on the cuff?
I think that I will start with an audio. Yeah, a poem. I think I'm going to have you read it too, Rex. I have a poem here that was put on the board by Argo Wings. She ran across this poet and asked for his permission to put it on, you know, to have it on the show. And, and that's who I think I'm going to start tonight. So, Rex, if you would be so kind, the poet's name is Solar Jinx. So there we go, whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie. Monsters at the Moment by Solar Jinx. I can smell them now. Not quite, but rather I can sense them moving cautiously as though they already know their bodies are corrupt and their blood clogs cranial articulation. There's a stiffness growing inside them, a coagulation of thought and tempo. Some of them know it, but most still mimic life seen on social media. Blobs of humanity in mayonnaise packets waiting to be squeezed out. Artificial birth. They're all monsters at the moment. Humans who commingled source code with a synthetic promise mused by fallen angels from outer space. Enemies at the gate. Armored arms crossed. Bifurcated tongues hissing. Diamond wings brightly unfurled, blinding anyone who dares cross over. They stand guard, watching over us while we decide which corporate cum-stained $6 latte to get. It's still early, too early. The sun hasn't begun burning. People wake up from their Lexapro circus nightmare and idle their cars in a half-moon-shaped circle of uncaffeinated patients hoping to get high before work, hoping the boss is chill-pilled, hoping the kids get decent grades, hoping the spouse isn't cheating, hoping the car will crank when it's time to go back home. Dealing with life is tricky. Dealing with poets who write about it from a parked car while observing the battle between good and evil is trickier because we never shut up. We just keep writing and watching and waiting and observing humanity as it falls apart, reassembles itself, and falls apart again. And poem. All right, thank Naomi, you. Why don't you kick us off with a thought?
Wow, eh? That's amazing, deep poem. Like, I see in the beginning, like, how everything on internet just controls us, you know, they're just there. You know, you just say something or you just type in something into Google and, you know, you get like 50 publicities on the thing you just typed in, you know, you just type in the word, I don't know, California, and then you have 50 publicities about hotels and places to go in California. Well, that's just an example there. But, you know, but he goes farther than that, you know, he goes right into life too. You know, how, you know, everything, you know, that what caught me was the, they stand guard watching over us while we decide which corporate cum stained $6 latte to get, you know, yeah. Everything, you know, how everything is controlling us and how we deal with life and how it's, you know, it's just, you know, the good, the evil, everything. We just try and, you know, and then there's the poet or the writer, the artist who's there watching and waiting and, you know, just writing about it, writing about everything that goes on. So really good, an amazing, well-written poem, very deep and insightful, and, you know, and it questions everything, and it makes you think. So very an excellent write.
Oh, thank you, Naomi. Colin, how about you?
Yeah, adding to that, I think that the second half of this poem is really where it comes alive. And it starts with this people waking up from their Lexapro circus nightmare. And that stood out to me because the antidepressant wears off. And in the morning when you wake up, it isn't there, right? And you wake up to reality and you start, basically you're confronted with things in your uncaffeinated patients, right? Hoping the boss is going to be chill-pilled, hoping the kids get decent grades, hoping the spouse isn't cheating. All this stuff comes rolling in and flooding in like a storm, right? Of the person in the early morning who doesn't have antidepressants to reach to. I thought that was brilliant. And I thought that really hammered home the idea of this. The first part of the poem is this distractions with social media and this nonsense that people spew out in social media and just this fantasy world that we can delve into. But it's that early morning hour when everything comes harshly and truthfully into play. It is where the tragedy starts to unfold. So I thought this was excellent. And I really thought the second half is really where it comes alive.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, how about you?
Oh, you know, I thought this was a great piece. I can't disagree with Naomi or Colin on this. It was just wonderfully put together. And as Colin was saying, you know, it goes throughout all these thoughts. And then all of a sudden it's, you wake up from your dreams and now you're focused on, you know, with the harsh realities of what really is going on, you know. It was really nicely put together. I thought it was very well expressed. So, great job, Solar Jinx, and thanks for letting us use the piece tonight. It was great.
Great comments, you guys. I think, for me, the back end of this, dealing with poets who write about from a park car while observing the battle between good and evil is tricky. From there on down, it reminded me of a speech JFK gave back in January 61, talking about how poetry offers up the healing moments the truths to corruption and everything else, where it breeds out that which is bad in people and governments and postings all the same, and offers up the truths that actually help the country or the individuals heal in the moment. So that was a nice touch to finish out with. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Excellent. Great comments, everybody. Okay, Naomi, I have one here for you to read by Diane D.
Okay. Oh, I think I already read this. This is amazing. Moving day, outside rainy and gloomy, sleeping on the springy mattress because the bed frame was upright against the antique dresser in the hallway. Chargulated cartons collecting in corners of the carpeted parlor, drawerless nightstands and mahogany table legs strewn about. Some last-minute packing before the U-Pack movers arrive. Bulging bellies and stale sweat, a single roll of toilet paper diminishing rapidly. Labeled storage are several of the Rubbermaid bins stuffed with overdue library books, mismatched bric-a-brac, and old VHS movies. Keep or toss, written on pink and sticky notes, affixed to bundles of big black garbage bags, carton of expired milk and dill pickles, all that's left in the fridge. Phillips screwdriver with the rubber handle tossed on a bare kitchen table alongside the roll of gray duct tape and dirty ashtray. Beer bottles, pizza boxes, laid out on the bedeviled cardboard crate that doubled as a table whispering to the orange tabby, it's moving day. Empty main floor apartment, bare of all proof of inhabitation, but for the sea of coffee-colored boxes, lonely whistle of a nearby train, I turn the key one last time. End poem.
Great read. Naomi, thank you very much. And Kylan, how do we start with you, please?
Yeah, I mean, this is an elegant poem, and it's just a moment that's caught in time that makes a profound impression on the poet, right? And in some ways, I read this, and it's just this kind of, you know, elegantly laid out, this meticulously framed scene. You know, you almost get this cinematic element to this. And immediately I remember from my own life is when, like, I moved out of my childhood home when I was 14. And I remember the boxes. And I remember, like, the empty rooms. And this feeling of, you know, turning that key that one last time and leaving. And it's something that, like, it sticks with you. And I think that's what is going on here. It makes such an impression on the writer, on the poet, and that impression is extended right to the reader, and you're just there and you just feel it, and it's just so manifest, and just very, very nicely done. So
excellent, thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
Yeah, I just want the off-mute version of that, correct? I thought this was a wonderfully expressed piece. You know, I thought it was a great snapshot of those final minutes in that moving day. Yeah, go ahead, laugh. Ah, he said a bad word. Good. Tell Phil. It's okay. You just tell it. To get me later. Kidding. Just kidding. I'm in a mood tonight. But I thought it was a great snapshot of those final minutes on that moving day. You know, basically I'm agreeing with Colin there. You know, the imagery was great, and she really did paint it very well. You know, all the images as she's walking through or looking through the apartment or house. You know, very well done. Great job, Diane. Thanks for sharing. I'm going to say bad words again.
Thank you, Jean.
Okay.
All right, Naomi, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh, wow. This is just amazing. You know, the detail, you know, right down to the Phillips screwdriver and with the rubber handle and, you know, and the gray duct tape and the dirty ashtrays, the beer bottles, the pizza boxes. Oh, my gracious, like, this is just, like, moving time, you know, like, 100% here. You know, she just nailed it, you know, just down to to a T here. Just such a, you know, I have to repeat it again, but such attention to detail. This is just beautiful, you know, in the way it's written here. Just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree. The observational tone of this is stark and real because it holds such a noted day. It's vivid. I mean, the thought, you pack movers arrive, bulging bellies and stale sweat, and then a single roll of toilet paper diminishing rapidly. A
mm-hmm.
nice little touch to things most people don't think about in the moment until they actually need it and find, oh, crap. Yo, I need something in here, please. But everything else, you've got the old VHS movies, everything, memories, looking back in time, Rubbermaid bins, the big black garbage bags, the notes, the pink sticky notes. Most people don't use sticky notes anymore, but yet there's the reference. The Phillips head screwdriver with the rubber handle, the beer bottles and pizzas, because that was your kind of celebratory note at the back end of things. You wanted to have it one last night in the place, even though you couldn't cook. Because everything is packed, and it's all about packing away a lifetime of goods and ideas and memories. And then you offer up that last line, a lonely whisper of a nearby train. Again, that notation to the moment. I turn the key one last time, the goodbye. The tone of a little reverence, but a touch of sadness along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done, Diane. Thank you very much. All right, Jean.
Yes, ma'am.
Coming to you once more.
Now, Colin, can I get you to read the next one for us, please?
Sure. Let me go back.
You got it.
Let me refresh her. This is Daniel?
Yes, that'd be the one.
This is, all right. You can all hear me okay, right? This is Preserves. Yeah. I'm not proud of this. Pretty good liar. I have to be if I'm to preserve my thoughts in a world of abundance and overcrowding. I'm often abandoned, left to suffer in a harsh desert, selfishness and pressurized emotions. I'm not only at the mercy of the chemical experiment within, but feel the burns of explosions of those petri dishes that walk among me. Sometimes, in this universe of unlimited possibilities, everything just seems so barren, and the only purpose of life seems to be death. And I just need to hibernate for a bit with my thoughts like preserves in a jar. And I sit, eyes closed, and I dream of the lush forest gardens of an Eden that was. End poem.
Bravery, Kyla, thank you very much. All right, Naomi, you get to kick us off. What do you think?
Oh, I just love this. You know, how the take on the prompt here. The way he, the last stanza there, and I just need to hibernate for a bit with my thoughts like preserves in a jar, and I sit, eyes closed, and dream of the lush forest gardens of an Eden that was, going back to the Garden of Eden, where everything was pure and everything was righteous, and, you know, where there was no liars. And he starts out with, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I'm a pretty good liar. And, you know, everything started with that, you know, with sin there. In the Garden of Eden, everything went apart. So I think he finished off, you know, he brought it full circle, you know, around. But I just love this. I just love how he wrote that prompt in such a unique and creative way.
Excellent. Well said, Naomi. Thank you. All right, Jean, how about you? But you got to unmute first.
Anna!
Is that how it works?
Whatever. Oh, my God. It's going to be one of them nights. I can see it now. Oh, I think that this was a wonderful take on the prompt that Dan used. I think that it was very well thought out. I thought it was pretty clever. You know, all of a sudden you go from the image, and then you're talking about abundance and overcrowding, and all of a sudden you're talking about like preserves. I don't know. Dan has always come up with unique thoughts in his poetry, and I think this is another fine example of that. But I thought it was well written, and, just a great take on the prompt, and I really enjoyed it. I thought he did a great job.
Thank you very much, Jean. And, Callan, you got to read it and did a great job. What did you think?
Yeah, the main thing that struck me here is the great juxtaposition between the barrenness or the outer world and the lush gardens of the mind, right? And that's I think, what's kind of compelling here, right? And for one reason or another, the poet, right, it feels that the outside world is not matching up with what he wants internally, right, and in his mind. And it's somewhat characteristic of his poetry in general, right, which is very kind of like focused on the mind and focused on the inner being, right, and how it preserves the rest of the world. So, yeah, it was just nicely done, very compelling.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I thought the picture is wonderful, and starting it off, I'm not proud of it, but I'm a pretty good liar. That kind of tells you the angle where it's going. You got to lie to yourself in order to function properly, because you hit on that notion of I am not only at the mercy of the chemical experiment within, but feel the burn from explosions of those petri dishes that walk among me. There's fear, genuine fear of other people, because, hey, we are petri dishes. We harbor all manner of things, and we always will and always have. So the idea of there being a perfection in cleanliness and being able to walk a world where nothing affects you kind of takes away from the experience. But then again, he hits on that notion at the end, dream of the lush forest gardens of an Eden that was, which kind of hits on that notion of Eden being a perfect note to what is and what was before we became what we are now. Nicely done, Dan. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're coming back your way again.
Okay, well, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to run two audios in a row here. But first, first one I'm going to put up is by Martha Gettle. And let me hit that button. And here it is.
A Cold Day in April by Martha Gettle. It was a cold day in April. The clocks were striking 13. I knew things could not be as they seemed. I was surrounded by the remnants of my love for you. All my dreams had just fallen through. And I knew that I must be losing my mind, because I know there's no way you'd leave me behind. Yes, the clock was striking 13, the sky was turning pink, and I knew things could not be like I think. Yes, I'm losing my mind over losing you. I don't think there's any way I'm going to make it through. My heart's had as much as it can take, and I can feel my mind feel it break. I just saw the Mad Hatter running down the street, and a great big lion is laying at my feet. Yes, I know my mind is playing tricks on me, because you love me and you would never leave. Yes, I'm losing my mind over losing you. I don't think there's any way I'm going to make it through. My heart's had as much as it can take, and I can feel my mind feel it break. I swear there is a fairy flying in my face, and I can see pink trees all over the place. Yes, this day in April things are going so well, and I can feel my mind slipping into hell.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Colin, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's fun to sing. Right, and there's some kind of it's got that blues quality to it, right? But there's some really fun imagery here, like the seeing the Mad Hatter running down the street. There's some very serious elements here with it, you know, that the person despondent and losing her mind and you know, being just horribly depressed. But there's also this kind of playful interjections into the overall scene, almost like it's absurd, or there's like an element of absurdity there, you know, that the clock striking 13, all this other, this kind of madness that's taking hold of the whole, you know, project. So it's serious and it's sad, but it's kind of playful at the same time. And it is something that's easily transferable to music. And in that respect, it's a lot of fun. Those are main things.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, I kind of echo what Colin said there. You know, it is a serious matter. You know, she's being left by somebody that she loves, but she's, you know, she doesn't see the reality of it, I guess. She's trying to hide from it, and so she's making up all these scenarios in her head, and she's kind of going crazy over it, you know, between the Mad Hatter and the lion and the fairies flying and the pink trees all over the place. Yeah, so her mind is just slipping away on her as if, you know, she drank too much or something. you know. yeah, amazing song here with great little lines throughout that were just captivating. So just bravo, great job, Martha.
Thank you very much, Naomi. All right, Jean, how about you? Unmuted, of course.
Of course. Smart ass. I thought I was moving pretty quick that time. You know, I thought this was a nicely written piece by Martha. Great imagery throughout with all sorts of directions of hurt and thought and, you know, as Naomi said, you know, she represented a lot in this. And I thought, you know, it was well done. You know, her chorus is always good. You know, I don't know. I think that Martha's got a unique way about her writing, you know. I like when she sings, but I like when she reads, too, because it still works when she reads it. And I find that impressive. Lyrics do not always work when you try and read them. But hers do, because she changes up the chorus. It's not redundantly the same, you know. I shouldn't say it that way, because many, many, many choruses are exactly the same. But she changes it up just enough that when you read it, it's not like repeat, repeat, repeat. So, you know, you can stretch it out. So nice work there. Yeah, Martha. Good Lord.
Absolutely. This was different. It does hit on that note of dealing with the breakup itself, but it also walks a different tone. The 13 and those two stanzas were the one with the Mad Hatter, the Great Lion, and the fairy flying, the pink trees all over the place. And then hitting on that note again, yes, this day in April, things aren't going so well, and I can feel my mind slipping into hell. Kind of hits on two notions for me. Please tell me it's April Fool's Day, and it reminds me of... don't come around here no more with all that scenery, Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole and that whole mirage of strangeness. All right, Jane, we're coming back to you.
Well. I am here. Okay, now for the next audio I'm going to put up the piece by Casey Day. And let me hit that button. And here we go.
Diplomacy. Can we float like ghosts over the misery, or do we know too much to avoid responsibility? When the pressure gets too hard to take, can we handle the choices we have to make, or will we hide underneath an imaginary sea? Either way, we'll find it hard to breathe, but at least down there, there's no need to speak. I feel it now, crashing into me, waves of the pain coming up from the deep. Can my devotion to life break an ocean free? Will my God deliver all the sinners like me? When the bombs come knocking, will we bite our tongues? Will the ashes of temples come and fill our lungs? Before we dare climb the stairs leading to the truth, will we leave behind nothingness for our youth? Can our silence be deadly, leave us on our knees? What color blood do we bleed within diplomacy? I feel it now, crashing into me, waves of the pain coming up from the deep. Can my devotion to life break an ocean free? Will my God deliver all the sinners like me?
Wonderful read, Casey. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. Nicely done. And Colin, why don't we start with you, please?
Wow, this is like really an ambitious piece of work here. What struck me initially was the structure, the syntax, the meter, where it starts off in heroic couplets, but then it ends with this, either way we find it hard to breathe. There's just a longer line there, right, which kind of breaks the initial form of the poem. And then we go from the abstract to the personal, right? I feel it now crashing into me, right? Rays of pain coming up from the deep. It's interesting. I'm trying to like unpack the overall. You know, we have something that's the personal juxtaposed with the kind of the eternal or the general, right? And this idea of diplomacy, this idea of responsibility, and you know, it's nicely, these things are nicely juxtaposed against each other. So this is the first time I've seen this poem, and I'm still in the process of kind of unpacking it, but I'm very interested to see what y'all think of it, because I'm just now looking at it, and I need to digest more, but I think it's excellent.
Oh, I understand. There's a lot in this to dig into and enjoy. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, she speaks out about, you know, against so much injustice. I think that's where she's trying to take us. You know, everything that's going wrong in the world, you know, us avoiding the responsibility to all this misery in humankind, you know, whether it be, you know, what color blood do we bleed within diplomacy, whether it be, you know, racism or, you know, just our war or, you know, everything, or just, you know, leaving God aside and just, you know, forgetting him altogether. You know, I think that comes into it there too a bit. And, you know, well, with the phrase, will my God deliver all the sinners like me? You know, there's all kinds of gods out there. So maybe she's referring to all the different kinds of religions too, that often fight with each other, you know. You know, but the line that stuck out to me was, before we dare climb the stairs leading to the truth, will we leave behind the nothingness for our youth? You know, so she kind of she hints on that statement or that thought of leaving nothingness for our next generations, you know, leaving just, you know, behind, you know, what will we leave behind for our future generations, you know, just leaving misery. Will we leave them just misery behind? Yeah, this is a really deep poem, very layered, and, you know, you really have to dig into it. Like Colin said, I think it takes more than one read, just to dig out all the pieces and the bits and pieces of it, you know, to fully come to a comprehension of the whole piece. But it's so well written, you know. So bravo, Casey Day, you know.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Naomi. And Jean, how about you?
Well, hell, I don't know. Really, Naomi nailed it. And Colin, your comment was great. And I like how you sidestepped, because I might have done the same thing if they called me first. There was incredible lines throughout this entire poem. You know, sometimes I copy and paste a stanza into my comment, you know, but I could do that with all four of these easily. You know, this one here. When the bombs come knocking, will we bite our tongues? Will the ashes of temples come and fill our lungs? Before we dare climb the stairs leading to the truth, will we leave behind nothingness for our youth? Can our silence be deadly, leave us on our knees? What color blood do we bleed within diplomacy? You know, like, uh-huh. Yeah, what a great question there at the end. And I absolutely loved her last four lines, totally. I think that that kind of nailed the thought there. At least I believe it did. You know, I can't speak for Casey, but I think that says what I think she wanted to say. You know, I mean, I feel it now crashing into me, waves of the pain coming up from the deep. Can my devotion to life break on break an ocean free, will my God deliver all the sinners like me? That's, you know, it's a very deep, deep piece. So excellent work, Casey, and thanks for sharing that with us tonight. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gene. It is very deep. I like the opening note for this. Can we float like ghosts over the misery, or do we know too much to avoid responsibility? Great question, as along with the rest of the question, but that kind of hits on the note of our culpability in silence. Have we ceded so much to those we elect to do the daily duties of government that we deem ourselves unresponsible for that which they do in behalf of us? I think yes. The underlying truth is we're not engaged enough with those we keep and put in power to keep them hard fast to that which they should be doing as opposed to that which they want to do. And that kind of bleeds itself out with the thought of what color blood do we bleed within diplomacy? And it's kind of hitting on the note of us. Are we being too diplomatic with those we honor? And then they honor us with what rolls downhill, and it's usually very dirty. And the idea of will my God deliver all the sinners like me, it hits on that notion of we're ignoring our duties as people in all manner of living and life. Nicely done, Casey. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right,
well,
Eugene, it's back to you.
Oh, that darn Eugene, always messing around. Let me see. Okay, Rex, I have this one for you. So, whenever you're ready.
Cool. The Light Hangs in the Air by Spotteron. The light hangs in the air of your sweet perfume, the beams moving through like fingers move through water. To your satisfaction, each of these things that make and complete your beauty. Maybe start with the light, with how it came from the sea of fiery plasma. I could tell you about stars, about quantum physics and nuclear fusion, how all of these things happen. Just so a strand of light, imperceptibly weightless, could fall gently upon your face. Then I could tell you about your perfume, about how the aerosol particles are just small enough to be suspended in the air and just big enough to reflect the coming light into a beautiful portrait of shining gold. Then, of course, smell of your perfume wafting, permeating through the air in each slight shift of your body. I can tell you about fluid mechanics, how you can express each molecule in mathematical equations on their way from the perfume bottle to me as I breathe. And in the end, the olfactory system, I could talk about how smells can bring back memories, strong emotions, and much more. I could tell you why the sense of smell is the strongest, most final of the senses. I could collect each and every aspect of your beauty, fill pages upon pages of science and math and write in a book the things that make me love you and call it the book of the universe. But science has yet to answer, and maybe it never will, the question of life. Still, there is an answer to what we do, the poems we write, the people we love. I would rather not tell you at all about the science of your beauty, but instead, kiss the beam of light falling upon your lips. And so on.
Nice.
All right, Gene. Okay. I'm definitely going to look this one. Wow.
I think you kicked it to me. I think this was a beautiful poem. I guess it was midweek. Mindy came to me and said, you know, I found this poem, right? And I went, okay. She said, I'm going to ask for permission. I went, okay. So she asked for it, and this is the first time I'm reading it. What a beautiful piece this is. And he couldn't have ended this piece any in a more beautiful fashion. You know, I mean, just the, you know, but instead kiss the beam of light falling upon your lips. What a beautiful way to tie this up. I thought the whole thing was clever and well done and well thought out. And I like the directions he went with each stanza and each piece or part of the poem that he was describing. So excellent job, Spadaron, and thank you for letting us read that on the air tonight. Hopefully we'll see some more of your work soon.
Well said, Jean. Thank you. And Colin, how about you?
Well, I thought this was terrific. I think it's just gorgeous. You know, what immediately struck me about this whole thing was I remember there was a short story about a French philosopher named Gabriel Marcel who was at a conference where there was a bunch of mathematicians and scientists there. And these mathematicians and scientists were insisting that everything in reality can be described comprehensively using science and using mathematics. And then he sat down at a piano and he ripped off this gorgeous sonata by Brahms. And he said, I'd like you to comprehensively describe that for me. And they sat there dumbfounded. I think that gets at the heart of this, right, where you get the limits of empirical science because everything is there's a human element to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's love, right, for his woman transcends all these things, right, the light and the pheromones and the chemistry and all these things which could be so empirically described but fall way short, right, of what they really mean, and which is just really great. And you know, I would rather not tell you about all the science of your beauty, but instead kiss the beam of light falling on your lips. It's just a gorgeous way to end this. And yeah, it's just a magnificent, you know, example
Excellent.
Of that very concept broad and diverse.
Wonderful thoughts there. Thank you very much. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I think Colin has summed that this poem up so terrifically. You know, all the reference he did, he put in this poem toward science just emphasizes the ending there. You know, that they always say that the last frontier of science is the human brain. And, you know, it still is, you know, they're not even comprehending how it functions, you know, and, you know, the human aspect in everything, you know, and you can't put that into a box. You can't put numbers on that. And, you know, I think he brings that out so well in this poem, you know, and those last lines, they're just, you know, it just emphasizes all the love that he has for this person, like Colin said. Just a remarkable, remarkable right.
You're absolutely right. And I agree with both you and Colin on this. It is gorgeous and it's it walks a different plane of existence. But I did like the thought of dropping in those little notes of science, the quantum physics, the fire plasma, and running that as the backdrop by still dropping in imperceptibly weightless, could fall gently upon your face, the coming light into a beautiful portrait of shining gold. And then when you got down to the smell, now that there's something nicely, almost erotic in that stanza itself, even with the thought with the fluid mechanics, mathematical equations, on their ways from the perfume bottle to me as I breathe. What a nice note to finish that stanza itself. And then to finish out the whole piece with I could tell you all about that, but I prefer not to. I'd rather kiss that beam of light falling upon your lips. It epitomizes the moment where he's not trying to, but offers up a little bit of the science, yet finishes out the thoughts by, no, it's all about that which I see in front of me and how the light reflects you in my eyes. Nicely done, Spadaron. Thank you very much.
Yes.
All right, Jean, I'm coming to back you.
Okay. Naomi, I have one for you.
Okay. Okay, bud. Pam 8. Oh, great spirit. Oh, great spirit, I'm small and one of many. I beg you to hear the cries of the people. Oppression still lurks beneath the surface of the collective unconscious. Hatred and intolerance of others are only masks for the anguished souls trapped inside decaying shells, centuries upon centuries of racism, violence, intolerance, greed, and hatred towards our fellow man, woman, and child, as well as the earth in all its glory, the four-legged and winged ones, and for all the beings of the vast body of waters. I pray for change. I pray that this upside-down world and values will right themselves once again in alignment and balance with all living beings of this great planet and beyond. Help us, I pray. Ayo.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Pam, that was quite the piece. Thank you very much. Colin, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing unfolds like a desperate prayer, right? I think the idea here being that you have to appeal to the Great Spirit because you can no longer appeal to humanity, which is somewhat of a depressing thought, because people are just so, you know, overtaken with hatred and, you know, racism and violence and intolerance and greed, all these vices, right, which just plague humanity. And, yeah, so the whole thing comes as a desperate incantation to something that is beyond the human, because a human can no longer be trusted. And that is my impression here.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And, Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, as Colin said, you know, it's a great prayer for humanity. You know, to have things change, to turn things around, to make things better. If it could be so simple, right? We'd all be writing words. We'd all be writing words for it. But it's a beautiful thought and a wonderful, you know, it's a wonderful hope for all. So I think Pam did an excellent job with this piece. I thought it was very well expressed. So, well done.
Thank you, Jean. And Naomi, you got to read that, and you did well. What about you?
Yeah, well, I think this shows a lot of the character of the poet that wrote it, you know. You know, she's pleading in this poem. She's crying out all these injustices, you know, and she's pleading for change here. And, you know, we hear her character through her voice, through the writing, and it comes out so sincere, I think, you know, and just so heartfelt in this right here. So just bravo on this right.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. I roll along with that. I like the thought with the title itself and the opening line, "Oh, Great Spirit." There's a native thought to that. And the picture itself is gorgeous. It's not easy getting a picture of perfection without getting a ripple on the water and that sense of up and lower, which she got in this picture, is perfect and draws upon it in that very first stanza again. Oppression still lurks beneath the surface of the collective unconscious, offering up the thought of above the water consciousness and within the water, unconscious thoughts and deeds and actions. And then she hits on that again with, I pray for change. I pray for this upside-down world. and values will write themselves once again. Again, that thought to the picture and what it represents, the disparate sort of how things seem to be topsy-turvy and out of sync, out of whack, which again goes to a great spirit, that prayer and realizing that which was we once had, we should have again, because there is that innate thought within us of not just survival, but it's humanity as a whole, despite that which we seem to be getting way too much of these days. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okay, well, first I want to say, I want to say hello to Gray Eyes. Hey, Gray, welcome aboard. It's nice to have you.
Hi, Gray.
Hi, Phil. And hi, who's
hey, Gray.
Absolutely. We have, did you say who's here? Is that what you asked, Gray?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. There's Rex. There's Naomi. There's Colin. C. Francis Higgins. I knew there was an F in the middle. And me. Me. The crazy
awesome.
One.
So. Good to be here.
Yes,
did you have
you,
to be
Gene. Here?
Hello, everybody.
It's me, Gene. Okay. Well, Gray, I don't know. Did you hear the last poem?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you know, you can't be everywhere, can you? Okay. Now, Colin, put your piece up next, if you'd be so kind as to read that for us. That'd be wonderful.
Sure. I always feel self-conscious reading my own stuff. Anyway.
We could have Rex read it.
I know. This is control. Control. The snake-bit youth grasps hard to unmoored tethers and collapsed parachutes while the music bites firm in rat-filled theaters and old warehouses. Her affections run deathless. Under sallow lamplight and stolen promises, the streetcar is wandering through lost tracks and cities ephemeral because no one's in control and every spark of insight is blind. And her kisses transport me to places celestial and yet forgotten, while life is waxing defiant in her dying veins and glassy visions. And poem.
Great read, Colin. Thank you very much. And Gray, since you're the newbie in the room, we got to start with you.
I thought that was a fantastic read. And, you know, it's a deeply metaphoric poem filled with fabulous imagery, and you can feel the emotion in it, especially when it says, while life is waxing defiant in our dying veins and glassy vision. Excellent job.
Thank you, Gray.
Thank you.
Naomi?
I had to dig into this one. There's a lot of wonderful metaphors in this. A snake bit youth grasp hard to unmoored teethers and collapse parachutes. And in the end, you refer to as her kisses transport me to places celestial and yet forgotten. So is this, you know, you being totally captivated and you know, overthrown by this woman here? I'm trying to decipher this. Or is it just another life itself? I'll just have to wait for other comments. But this is wonderfully written, and I love the turn of phrases in here and the you know, the metaphors that you put together and, you know, the words that you wove together through this. Just amazing. Makes you think, makes you stop and think, and that's always amazing with poetry that makes you do that.
Well said, Naomi. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
You know, Colin, I thought this was a great piece. I mean, you know, and I am recorded the first two, three lines. You know, but each set of lines here is kind of speaks for itself in its own small way. You know, while the music bites firm in rat-filled theaters and old warehouses, you know, like that's music is such a wonderful thing, and it's been brought into this kind of ominous kind of, you know, space. But then her affections run, well, depthless. I'll make that big enough I can read it. Under sallow lamplight and stolen promises. You know, like, it is. It's got a lot going on in here, and, you know, it's just everything is not as you would. All the glitters is in gold, I would say, in some of this, you know, and this person gets brought in and kind of, you think it's going to have a little redemption in the words a little bit, and then it kind of falls back out again. It's very interesting and very well done. Just a great piece, Colin, and very well written.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Gene. All right, Colin, I'll agree with everybody. This kind of hits the visuals in this were outstanding, and the descriptive's perfect. I got a thought. The snake bit youth grasps hearts, unmoored tethers, and collapsed parachutes. Unmoored tethers and collapsed parachutes kind of hits me with the notion of promises and free fall. And this streetcar is wandering. I think that represents the narrator of the piece itself, through lost tracks and cities ephemeral, because no one is in control and every spark of insight is blind. There's a thought of wandering kind of in almost the wasteland, so to speak, and the thought and love for the city or the country, the town, or whatever the representation is still there, but it seems that the youth itself does not have any promise of that which tomorrow might offer, and that's where you hit on the back end of this. While life is waxing defiant in our dying veins and glassy vision, it seems that there might not be a tomorrow for this youth to grasp onto, because of that which he sees in the moment.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Wonderful piece. Thank you very much, Paul. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, the next piece I have to put up is by Argo Wings, and I have a SoundCloud for that. So, here goes everything. Well, some of it anyway.
Untempered. When heated hearth warms eyes with mirth, I'll ante up a thrill and ease you back on bearskin birth to tempt and tease my fill. A slick wet cube of ice acquired to trace along your trail, and my besotted mouth inspired to seek its holy grail. Sweet sweat abides until I ride. I'll taste you on my lips with melted ice to drip and slide, accentuating nips. And pleading groans from your tongue fall, and waiting knows its peak, I'll heed your hot delirious call and leave your body weak.
Wonderful read, Argo. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Naomi, why don't we kick with you?
Oh. This was sensual. You know, the way she took that, the ice cube all the way down, and, you know, just use the ice cube until it melted, and, you know, to bring out all the sensuality and all what the foreplay that's going on in this poem is just remarkable. Oh my, I want her in my art of seduction So I want to write. Yeah, this is just amazing. Yeah, and the tone of her voice, you know, when she was reading it, oh, my gracious, it just makes you melt. Like,
yeah,
the ice.
A nice, easy little tone.
Yeah, just fabulous piece, seduction here. Very sultry.
Oh, thank you, Naomi. Gray, how about you?
Yeah, this was luscious and sensuous. It was a fantastic read as well. But, you know, it has such amazing imagery and passion in it. It's just a beautifully done poem. When pleading groans from your tongue fall and waiting knows its peak, I'll heed your delirious call and leave your body weak. Just excellent, excellent job.
Thank you, Gray. And Jean, how about you? Unmuted, of course.
That was the safest way for me to make this comment. It was a wonderful
call. Oh, you being
call.
Naughty behind the background?
I'll never tell what I was doing you on mute. Not at all. But that was just an excellent piece, Argo. Excellent. Beautifully worded, sensual as all get out. You know, hot, hot, hot kind of stuff there. Like, yes, yes. There's a lot of, yeah. I got to put the air conditioner on now. I've been sitting here in the heated room. Now I got to put the air conditioner on. It's all her fault. Anyway, great piece.
Move to Quebec.
Oh, thank you, Jean. And Colin, how about you?
Well, I mean, I don't smoke, but I need a cigarette after reading this.
it's
very sensual and erotic, and let's put it this way: it gets you where you want to go, right? Very nicely done. Yeah, it's terrific to see this kind of, you know, kind of deeply sensual, kind of almost Kama Sutra-esque, you know, poetry. It's very fun to read, and it's very nicely done.
Kama Sutra-esque, I like that. Thank you very much. Great comments, everybody. And you're right, that picture was a great lead-in because of the thought between hot and cold and where she took it. So, Argo, you did offer up quite the sensual piece with some sparks, pizzazz, and a lot of heat with it. And it definitely is a Wednesday style write. Nicely done. All right, Jean, with that one, are you chilled enough to get to the next?
I am. I'm already here. I do have a great night. Talk to you soon. Okay. The next piece I have is by We Are All Gonzo. And this is for, this is a part two to a poem that we actually played part one last week. And yes. Sorry if you didn't hear last week, but I'm sure this is just as good. So I'm going to put this up now, and I'm going to hit that button. Let's see if I can find the button. There we go.
Papa, you tricked me. I thought you said this was going to be a happy story.
This story is awesome. There's knives and beer.
I don't like this story because I think it's scary.
Be quiet. We're finishing this story.
You be quiet.
Stop fighting. Stop fighting. I said it would be both happy and scary.
Will Jan escape?
Of course he escaped. The story is about the only boy to ever escape Dimmerbigger.
What is the bird of bear?
Dimmerbigger is an unusual lava formation. The lava formed a circle. It is said to be a pathway for the devil to take his minions in and out of hell at his leisure.
So Jan escapes, right?
I told you, it says that in the title.
That's if he was the only boy in the Bubrabrer.
Was he the only one, Papa?
I'm afraid he was not.
You know you'll never escape here.
Feeling thing.
No, I hate Christmas.
You have been very naughty.
I wish my mom was here.
I wish anyone was here.
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children?
Little boy, wake up.
I'll leave you to slide. This is the tale of the Yule of the Giant and the only boy who ever escaped Dimmu Borgir.
Little boy, wake up.
Where am I? How did I get here?
One of those little freaks with a high-pitched squeak dropped you down this hole about 4 foot deep. If we can try and pry the wires that have us tied and bide our chance, we'll be short and frantic, but we can make it out if we really plan this. We just have to find the right time. I want to see my mother again. She's my only friend. The only one around since my father left and never came back. I want to say sorry for being such a brat. I'm sorry for rambling. You can call me Jack.
I know how you feel. I bet wanting your mom. But I fear mine's gone, like your father had done. Except up in the sky. So no hope for her to come home. Just a memory and I will cry. I don't know why. So anger is all that I feel left inside. I wish my mom was here. I even wish my dad was here.
I wish anyone was here.
I had a knife, but I fear those fiends, very queer, have confiscated our weapons, so we are left to our own discretion.
As the two young boys search for their path, the dwarves secretly watch their struggle with a laugh, for they were not the first, nor would they be the last, nor the worst to try and stand tall to cast off the winds of fate and get back to their past. So the dwarves did patiently wait.
What's your name, little boy with no plan?
Stop calling me that. It's plain to see. I am a giant, in fact. My name is Jan. Soon I'll be gone. To bring the army back. To unleash hell at dawn.
That one simple word the dwarves knew quite well. One jumped into the pit to get closer as well as inquire a question, spurred by suggestion.
Little boy, do tell. What do you know of anything of hell?
Hell is a place of a wicked burn, and burn till lessons are learned.
Hell is a place for bad, naughty people.
And deserves to be punished for being so evil.
Yes, boy, indeed. But I clearly see you are not understanding my point. You're not understanding me. If this is a place of the wicked and bad, why are you here? And not home with your dad.
John the Giant fell silent as he tried to fight it, but the fear built inside him and the tears fell from his eyelids.
I'm afraid no escape will favor you today. No one escapes this place. No one escapes.
What about the boy from yesterday?
This tidbit of information had John's thoughts swarming. Alarming it sounded, but still he was confounded. It can only sound the only question in his mind that was foul.
Why are you taking children?
For our queen.
What does she want with kids like us?
She eats them, of course. What else would you do with children? I'm sorry, old chap, but many more chores to do. I'll see you after supper. Well. Whichever one she doesn't chew to pieces.
That was a wonderful SoundCloud. We're all Gonzo, and thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it. And Gray, why don't we kick it with you? What'd you think?
Well, this is a gripping on your edge, you know, on the edge of your seat kind of a read and portrayance of a storyline. You know, it's just fantastic imagery that he's created here. And then all the different voices that he applied, as well as the music, just came together to culminate into a fantastic performance. Excellent job.
Thank you, Gray. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I just love this. You know, the storytelling is just wonderful. And, you know, the, like Gray said, the voices just adds to the impact of the whole thing. Yeah, I wish I would have heard the first part, and I can't wait to listen to the third part, because I want to know what's going to happen here. But yeah, just great storytelling all throughout. Just an amazing SoundCloud, you know, the way the music and everything creates the ambiance all around it. Just awesome.
Absolutely, Naomi. Thank you. And Colin, how about you?
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. And I think that, you know, aside from all the dramatic qualities and the great, you know, voicing and everything else, and I love this idea of the unusual lava formations, right? The lava that forces a circle and is said to be a pathway to the devil. Minions in that of hell at his leisure, right? So this great kind of fantastical underlying story to all of this, and that you know how it like unfolds, right? So it's a lot of fun. I haven't seen part one of this, but I'll have to go back and look to get better context. But it certainly looks like a very ambitious project, and definitely a lot of fun.
Absolutely, great comment there. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, how about you?
Oh, you know, I thought this was excellent. I thought this was it was just as captivating as part one. A very well-penned piece and really enjoyed it. Very professionally done, and that was kind of what took me back last week when I went to upload the audio. I'm going, is this something that somebody really did from All Poetry, or is this something that they found somewhere? You know, silly me for hesitating, but it really did make me stop and think for a minute. But just excellent work, and much enjoyed that, Gonzo, and thanks. Hope to hear part three soon. Anybody looking for part one, if you look at my topic board for last week, it's there. Yeah, it was really a great piece. A great.
A nice touch to the first part. I can't wait for the third one, too. It's kind of you get the depth to it kind of hits on that note of a J.R.R. Tolkien realm with a moral that comes along with it. We're not there yet, but you're getting a little touch of the thought where the moral comes in with all that's going on. So, Gonzo, great piece again. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right, Gene, we're coming back your way.
Okay, I'm going to put this one up with Sapphire Rose, and I have an audio for this. I have a lot of audios tonight, so everybody just forgive me. I just have to find her. There's the button. I found it. Here we go.
Silenced for All Time by Sapphire Rose. I always walked a fine line, my individuality whitewashed. A whisper of a woman muted within the chaos of choices. Losing balance, unable to stand, a deluge of forlorn surroundings, plagued to listen to the whispering voices of a mocker's reflection. Don't turn me over in my grave to spit upon my disintegrating corpse. In life, you pillaged pieces of me, pecking away at my flesh, like a vulture to its already condemned victim. You poked and prodded me with your metaphorical stick. What's one more for old time's sake? Ignore me all you want. Just know I am that undeniable truth nagging the back of your mind. Your words hold no comfort. You are soothing as a hot iron to raw flesh. Stop trying to fill a cracked glass. Because no matter how hard you try to grasp a shard of happiness, eventually it bleeds out and succumbs to the darkness, forever muted to the silence of your tomb. End poem.
Wonderful read, Sapphire. Thank you very much for the sound clap. It is greatly appreciated. And Colin, why don't we start with you, please?
This has some really terrific imagery, and the tone is, you know, just really angry, you know, it's very vindictive, and that's okay. You know, I mean, poetry can have that tone, and I think it makes it very powerful. You know, your words hold no comfort. You're soothing as a hot iron to raw flesh, right? I mean, just, you know, somebody who's been spited and betrayed and angry, you know, don't spit upon my disintegrating corpse, right? It's just like there's element of finality, but just this overwhelming rage, you know, that seeks to just burst out, right, of you know, everything that's happened, all these scenarios. This is the first time I've seen this. I'd like to unpack this more, but on first inspection and the first read through, I just really love it. I think it's just great. You know, it's pretty powerful. So I'm interested to see what other people have to say about it.
Excellent. Thank you very much there, Colin. Naomi, how about you?
Well, she wrote this to the prompt, I think, answer my fears with silence. So I think she's talking to herself here, and she's blaming herself, you know, for her own, you know, anger here, her own inability to tackle and deal with what's the problems, like the fears maybe that are keeping her down in life for being her true self. That's what I got out of it anyway. It's very, very, you know, dark, and the soundtrack is excellent. Her voice in it just has like a haunting feeling around it, you know, that just draws out the whole atmosphere of the piece. Just terrifically well done. I just loved, you know, stop trying to fill a cracked glass, because no matter how hard you try to grasp a shard of happiness, eventually it bleeds out and succumbs to the darkness. So she's like chasing after her own happiness, I think, here. But, you know, it keeps escaping her all the time. And, you know, I think that's it. That's what's the center of the poem. I might be wrong, but that's what I got out of it. Just an excellent, excellent piece all throughout. Just bravo.
Oh, I like that thought, condemnation of self. Nice touch there, Naomi. Thank you. And Gray, how about you?
Well, I thought it was a beautiful poem. Fantastic read as well. But, you know, this poem is forthright and in your face about having abused me while I was alive, and now that I'm dead, you know, don't try to put on a face because I'm dead after you've done so much abuse throughout my life. And I thought it was just a haunting, epic write.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. And Gene, how about you?
I agree with everybody. I mean, it was a wonderful dark piece. Very well done, and the audio was excellent. You know, Sapphire always gives us good audios, but it was a great dark piece, and I thought it was well expressed, to say the least. You know, just very well done. And I know this is written for Into the Darkness, to a poem prompt, according to the first line of the AN. So I'm kind of curious what that poem was all about. I bet you it was almost as good, I'm saying. But excellent work, Sapphire, and thanks for sharing with us. Okay.
It was a nicely dark piece, and it taunting, almost curse-like. It had me thinking of Poe's The Telltale Heart. No matter how much damage you did to me, I will forever haunt you now that I'm gone. Nicely done, Sapphire. Thank you. All right, Gene, we're coming back your way.
Okay, well, before I move on, I'm going to say welcome, Sawa.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Sawa.
Hi, this evening. Can I comment quickly on this poem? I really loved it.
Sure.
It's just, I feel like what Gray said, it's so much pain, someone who hurt her so much, mocking her, cutting her pieces, and now you try to fix the glass, it's too late after you kill me inside out, and I can't, like, the pain made her, killed her inside out. This is really powerful and sad. I love the reading, her voice. That's what I see there. But I love your interpretation too, Naomi, and everyone else.
Thank you.
Yeah. And okay, so I want to put up the next piece. Next, we have a few. A couple pieces left. So what I'm going to have you skip over my comments because there's no way we'll fit them all in. And here we go.
Okay,
this is Bob Intimidus Rex, and I have a SoundCloud for this. So book out, everybody.
"'Twas a long haul to the shores of our desolation. Ghosted soul, lips sinking that taste of Hades upon swollen tongues. 1408 bleeding dolphin dreams past Mercury rising to a veined Stygian beat and come play with me. Na 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 boo boo. Na 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 boo boo. Corvinus, blue black pecker sipping vitreous custard behind fenestral views to a dried walnut lost within their tainted chatter. We fell through a silver vapored mist clinging to the sounds of bones breaking. We want to play. As Gideon's empty pages grandfathers out dawn's awakening prose, and we wept where gray shadows fornicate round a carousel spinning down that spinal tapped rabbit hole. You need to stay with us. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Clips wings in 13 leprechauns unknotting our ruse as that drop meets a footed pose strung in flashbulb cremation. Hello, Daddy, welcome in. Now we hold all your sin. All fallacious are we all, liquid in our darkened pall. We are legion.
Oh, my gracious.
Oh. You want to continue that thought, Naomi?
I'm alone here.
No.
My door is locked.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm going to go lock my doors. Oh, boy. Well, I got it. I got that, you know, the 1408, the movie by, you know, the horror film based on Stephen King's 1999 short story. But it seemed that you went so far. You know, yeah, I know it's about somebody that checks into the Dolphin Hotel and, you know, and the haunted room and everything. Yeah, but you did this so great. Oh, my gracious. You know, all the different voices that you did in here. And, it was just so, this is the creepiest poem that I've had on AP so far. I'm telling you, this gave me shivers up and down my back. Just amazing.
Thank you very much, Naomi.
Now I'm going to go lock my doors.
Oh, God, thank you very much. That's funny. Gray, how about you?
I thought it was epic. You know, you did a fantastic haunting read, and, you know, the laughter was pure madness. I really liked the creepy side of your poem. It was very haunting. Excellent job.
Thank you, Gray. Zawa, are you there? How about you?
Who's there?
Oh, boy, I think it scared Salwa away.
Oh, that's funny. All right, one last one. Colin, how about you?
Colin dropped. So you're stuck with me.
Oh, okay. And we're coming back to you for the next one. Now that I've scared
that
everybody.
It was truly crazy. I remember when I heard it the first time, I was like, oh, shoot. Yes, creepy, scary, very well done. And considering it was all you and there weren't other voices, you really made it work, bouncing between, you know, this voice and that voice and the other voice. It was excellent. So very well done, Rex, and great job with that, really. And thanks for sharing.
You did scare Salwa away. She's on the board saying, I can't only come back when it's finished. I'm going to write
I'm
all
back.
Clear. All clear.
Sorry. That's embarrassing. I really get scared.
I'm sorry, Salwa.
I would have a night. It's not your fault. It's me. It's embarrassing. I get scared. It's really, I can't help it. I don't like scary stuff. No movies, no horrifying things, no nothing like this. Sorry.
Oh my God. Okay.
But see, you succeed. Well, you succeed to scare. It just means amazing poem. I think that you did a really good job, Rex. So that's the way I would read that one. Okay. So the next poem I'm going to put one up by Garden Delights. Frank, I'm getting to you. Okay, here we go. Let me start this one. If I can find it, it's here somewhere.
Fireside Friendships. Have you ever viewed your friends over ruby yellow bonfire flames through rippling heat waves? Have you noticed how inky black the fire made the night sky seem? How crackling sounds carved the air into sharp angles? Do you remember how the crushed velvet of whispered words or the soft thud of approaching footsteps could take you by surprise? The flavor of friendships took on a woodsy feel, teased your nose with a toasty scent, your heartstrings with the rich aroma of trustworthy laughter and love. Never had s'mores tasted so delicious. Chocolatey sweet, swimming in warm, gooey marshmallows. A chill encouraged knitted sweaters, colorful quilts, and huddling close to your honey. As red glowing embers and time's flowing shadows drew their ageless mantle over everyone. The end.
Wonderful read, Garden. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. Naomi, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this was for my last contest, Colors and Senses. And, you know, it was my bronze winner. I just so loved this this poem. You know, it's just like I wrote in the, in my my comment to her, it's just like a warm wool sweater that blankets us and soothes us, you know. Each stanza is so wonderfully composed, you know, and it just brought back so many wonderful memories of bonfires here with my friends and family, and, you know, the s'mores, you know, the crackling wood, and, you know, just hugging and being together around a fire, you know, it just like a warm quilt there all the way down. So just so well crafted, this poem. Just enjoyed it so much.
Excellent. Thank you, Naomi. And Salwa?
Oh, I love this poem. Congratulations, well deserved. I love how she captured the moment with such warmth, but also we can taste, we can feel the fire warmth, we can feel the chocolate melting. It's just melting, it made me hungry. And the friendship, so beautiful. Who doesn't to have like friends like this or remember these moments with friends like that? Really beautiful capture of the moment.
Thank you, Salwa. And Gray, how about you?
Well, I thought it was beautifully read, and, you know, it really carries you back to those firesides that you've been at before in your life and takes you to those moments where you spent with friends, and I thought it did that beautifully. Excellent, great.
Well, absolutely. I thought that opening stanza hit on a nice note of viewing through the mixture of the darkness and the flames itself, and I love that second stanza because it's so different from everything else. Do you remember how the crushed velvet of whispered words or the soft thud of approaching footsteps could take you by surprise? And I offer that little notion to the ghost tales everyone tells around campfires. And then the rest hits on that notion of the warmth and camaraderie with the woodsy feel, the toasty scents, the s'mores, and everything else, and as well as the chill brought on a little later on. So great piece of... nice fireside chattings.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Jokey. And the next one I'm going to put up is by Naomi Sarah. And let me hit that button. Here comes the button. There we go. Oh.
Just pissed. Every time I feel you say, your mind is playing tricks on you, my dear. You are sending my brain raging into a curled over spasmodic contracting cramp again. Just by the nonchalant way you stand there, staring out the friggin' window, talking about how beautiful the lawn is coming along again, and that you're really satisfied with the fence you built. And how you have to hurry because you'll be late for work again, humming your way outside as I'm screaming into my bloody insides. I watch as you open the car door with an easy tug, and I slam the darn curtain shut. Hell, I wore my tiger stripe negligee last night. You kissed my forehead, turned over, and snored. I made you breakfast with eggs, done just like you love them. You ate it all up and then burped it all out. I know the name of each one of your coworkers. Know your job inside out. And you, do you even know what I did yesterday? Do you know how I love to write and paint? I don't think so, because you never darn ask. Oh, how I crisp up into a hard iron spike ball, just wanting to smash it straight between your serene eyes, kick the cool mellowness right out of your smile every time I try to talk, and you always pat my hand and say, oh, don't worry so much, baby. You fret way too much about nothing. Aren't we doing just fine? No.
Oh, great read, Naomi. And Bub? I think your goose is cooked because I see a cast iron skillet of whoop ass greeting you at the door when you get home tonight. Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
I really like this. You know, it's called lamp lighting when they do that. You know, your mind is playing tricks on you, my dear. And, you know, it's a common narcissistic trait. But it sounds like, you know, you have a narcissist in your life at this point. And, you know, everything is not okay. I thought it was just a fabulous SoundCloud and excellent, right?
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Salwa?
I'm sorry, I was laughing. I mean, this is really like a great poem that talk about exactly people who are so self-centered and don't just care about themselves and think life can go on their own way. But the way you read it, I just couldn't stop laughing. I'm sorry. It was just beautiful, sarcastic, amazing. You did such a great job. I love it. It's really amazing. You're a great poetess.
It was biting and the venting throughout was just it bridled at the pure rage which sits within, just dying to get out.
Yeah.
And Jean, how about you? But you got on mute first.
Exactly. I thought this was great, Naomi. I like the write, but your delivery was just so on point. You know, you made all your points all the way through, but the way you expressed it in the audio was, like, just awesome. Really was. And I enjoyed that very much. I like to hear that when there's so much emphasis put into the words. So excellent job all the way around.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, Jean.
Where would you like to go next?
I don't know. That's a great question. Okay, I'll tell you what. Gray, I'm going to put your piece up next.
Okay.
And so we're ready.
Thank you. This is Beyond the Moon by Gray Eyes Smith. We walked the shoreline of 1,000 beaches and climbed the trails to the highest peaks, tumbled down hillsides into valleys green. My time with you is the best time my world has seen. I take not for granted my days with you. I feel our bond is sacred and true. We have walked through searing heat and torrential rain. Nothing will ever equal the pain as I ask myself, will we ever meet again? If for some reason this is not in the stars, please know that I love you beyond the moon and even Mars. End poem.
Great read, great. Thank you very much. And Naomi, what'd you think?
Oh, I love how this starts out. You know, we walk the shorelines of 1,000 beaches and climb the trails to the highest peaks, tumble down hillsides into valleys green. My time with you, the best my world has seen. I just love the flow and the rhyme to it and the cadence of the whole rite. You know, it's just enchanting. It's just beautifully written and beautifully read. Gray, you know, the whole thing. It's just like it sings like a song. This, you know, it's just so beautiful.
Thank you, Naomi. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you, there, Naomi. And Solomon, how about you?
I love how he integrated nature, portraying a love journey that they took together, the ups and downs, and you feel the emotions. It's almost like, if for some reason this is not the stars, please know that I love you beyond the moon and even Mars. Like a redeclaration of love again. So beautiful and so romantic and passionate.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sawa.
Absolutely. Thank
My
you,
pleasure.
Sawa. I'd go two ways. You can walk this with the thought of that lifelong bond you had with someone you grow up with and you went through life with. That might be a girl and it might be a guy. So it hits on both levels of a friendship that's deep born within that which you both walked through, and the love walks either way. It could be the love for the friendship and the fact that they're moving into something else, or the love for the girl that you've cherished your whole life at that point, who is also moving on to something else. And the idea between the that last stanza for itself is that love will not dissipate no matter what happens beyond the time you've already spent together.
Great comment. Thank you.
You're welcome, Gray. And Jean, that's for you.
Well, Gray, I have to tell you, I really like that one. I remembered it. I was like, I know this. So, excellent job. And, I did much enjoy it. For sure.
Thank you.
What can I tell you?
I'm old.
I've been around a long time.
Right.
You know. It's like me when I put something up, Gray. You know how it is. Okay. I have a couple more I would love to get through. So I'm going to put this one up by Poetic Picasso. And I have an audio for that. Where's his audio fill tonight? So let me play this.
Tyrants of the world smashing any hope or gleam. I clinch to the hero's hope of drums of a liberating dawn, casting away the shadows of my nightmares and scream to the rest of the world, I'm not their pawn. I fight through the demons of my unruly oppression, like the indomitable slayer with a sharp steel sword, vanquishing them from the throne of obsession with an unrelenting banner. I confront the horde. I rise to be the jay-call of the battle roar, the blinding tempest of a warport of death, shouting to the world, stop the unjust war, for I bleed the same blood of the same breath. 1,000 bombs explode in the night, and 1,000 dead bodies lie in the street, but through the mist of the ashen smoke is a light, the clamor for freedom, where guns in tanks meet. I walk with the martyrs carrying the flag of pride, able to face the invisible foe of my condemnation, knowing that I no longer have to stay and hide from the loud sirens of my captivity in isolation.
Wonderful read, Frank. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
I really like, the stand in the face of oppression and hold your sword and, hold your line, appeal to this right. You did a fantastic job with the SoundCloud, although I think it cut short, but maybe that's just me. But I hear the cathedral bells ringing. Roman Calvary choirs are singing, to be my mirror, my sword, and my shield. Behold the valiant heroes, not of a foreign field. For some reason I can't explain, I know St. Pierre will call my name. It's either live or die, with or without a word. Never a reason to bow to a tyrant's sword. And that's when I ruled my world. Just a beautiful poem. Excellent, right?
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. And Naomi?
Yeah, I just this is just an amazing write to the song from Coldplay. Just taking a stand there, and just wonderfully written throughout. Yeah, I love the ending, of course, with or without a word, never a reason to bow to a tyrant's sword. And that was when I ruled my world. And, he just really brings out the song there, I Ruled My World. So this is just a great, fantastic write all through here, Frank. Just wonderful, wonderfully written.
Thank you, Naomi. And Salwa, how about you?
This one really moves me deeply because he's talk about tyrants and war and my whole family being killed by tyrants. So this is just really moved me. And then when he said, let's stop the war, it's true, there's so many wars happening. Sadly, so many people die. That's what I got from this amazing ride.
Absolutely. It's a notion of holding oneself personally responsible and accountable for that in order to get the tyrants out of the way. And I know, Gene, you've got one more you want to do, so I'm going to hold it back to you for the next one.
Excellent work, Frank, and thanks for sharing that one with us. Okay, this one's by Weaver of Dreams, and this also has a sound file. They're running at the bottom. They're running at the bottom.
I felt a hot, sharp pain. My breath left my body. Darkness prevailed. I spiraled. Then there was an aching nothing. Every sense had failed. I flew like an empty sack skywards. All my plans, my future, gone. Was this the prelude to death? No wailing, just flailing, living done? This cannot be all. Where are the bright lights, the heavenly chorus, the panacea that's fed to us to make our going joyous? We should feel relief when we've ascended, not abandoned, ended. Wait, I hear a caring voice within the void, transcended.
Great. Great read, Weaver. Thank you very much for the sound clap. We really appreciate it. And Naomi, why don't we kick off with you, please?
Yeah, you know, we always wonder what happens after death, you know, and I think she really captured that in this poem. You know, is it just, we just, you know, float out or fall into to a dark abyss, or just, or are there, you know, something else that waits there? And, you know, I just love the sound of her voice and every sound cloud. She just brings out, you know, the whole atmosphere, the whole feeling of what she wants to show us in the poem. So just well written and well done and well read. Excellent all through.
Thank you, Naomi. And Salwa?
I feel like it's make that not really scary, as it seems like you can see light and you can see voice that's caring voice within the voice transcending. That we think that is a scary place. I love the way she took it. Amazing poem.
Thank you, Salwa. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I really loved it from the opening stanza or opening couplet. I felt a hot, sharp pain. My breath left my body. Darkness prevailed. And then, you know, she spiraled, and then there was an aching nothing. Every sense had failed. You know, when you pulled into that darkness, you know, to hear a caring voice can transcend you out of that darkness and bring you back into the joy of light. Just a beautiful, right? Excellent SoundCloud.
It was. She hit on a number of emotions. The thought of the sharp pain itself, the breath leaving the body, then being thrown, not feeling anything more. And then the wonder, and then the fear. The panacea that's fed to us makes going out joy. We should feel relief when we're ascended, not abandoned, ended. And then all of a sudden, that fear dissipates with that voice from beyond the veil itself. And then the transcendence. Nicely done there, Weaver. Thank you very much. And Jean, we're coming back your way for closing.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to thank everyone tonight that sent us SoundClouds. I mean, that was incredible. We had a lot. We got almost everything read. We have 3 carryovers for next week. Jack Tomkovic. We have a couple more. I just had them in my hand. Oh, Katie the Naughty Poet. And last but not least, I have Pam Ray. I'm carrying hers for the second week. Maybe she'll join us and read it next week for us. Anyway, I want to thank everyone who called in and stayed with us, you know, all night, part of the night. I appreciate everybody. Thanks, Gray. Thanks, Salwa. I know you can't, but I appreciate you calling. And let's see. 12:30. Please, if you can, join Aphasiana and Babbler. I'm sure she'll have a wonderful show. I think it's a Harry Potter show. And, I think you'll enjoy that. And I know she'd be happy to have the company. So, Rex, thank you, as always, for filling in for me tonight. I really appreciated it. And it was good to spend some time with everybody. And I hope to see you soon. Oh, and
yep,
everybody
was a great
tune
night.
In tomorrow night. Everybody tune in tomorrow night. We have a brand new show, 10 to 12.
Oh.
10 to 12. Yeah, 10 to 12.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
Captain
the one
Beach.
With Bobby and Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will tell you what it is, but I have trouble pronouncing it. So forgive me. Ephrasis or something. Ephrasis? I don't know. I'd be lying if I told you. But I know that there's a contest up. The show was posted. And I'm not sure if there's a topic board up or not, but hopefully. And have a great weekend, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Appreciate you all. Much love. Bye.
Thank you.